do and I don't.
Yeah.
phones in airplane mode?
I do and I don't.
Do and I do and I don't.
Yes.
I want my tits jiggle, but then I don't.
oh, that was so much fun. Are you guys ready to...
How do we segue out of that?
I think we should just call some people, right? Mm-hmm. Call some listeners. Mm-hmm. They need some advice. Let's do that right now. So what we're going to do now is we're going to call Bree first. And Bree is 35. She's in New Mexico. And she... Anna, I'm happy about this call. We've never talked about this before.
Okay.
Can't wait until you hear what it's all about.
Awesome. Mike, thanks for being here so
thanks
much.
For having me. This is so fun.
Hello?
Hi, Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Bree.
Hi.
Hey, it's Sim, and Anna's here.
Hi.
And so is Mike Birbiglia. His movie is kicking ass right now. It's called Don't Think Twice. And it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and everybody loves it.
She doesn't care about that.
No, but
she cares about talking to Anna.
But yeah, she should see the movie. I mean, I don't think it's playing in New Mexico yet, right? But it will be playing there
in a week or two.
In a week, start in Santa Fe or downtown somewhere. Yeah. But
it'll be at Santa Fe.
No, hi Mike, hi Anna. I'm so glad to talk to you guys. This is really, really exciting.
Well, Bree, I'm happy
Thank
that
you for
you're
submitting a question.
And honestly, we're going to talk about this for a little bit because this is something that we haven't brought up on the show before. Bree, there's a lot going on with you. Tell us what's going on.
First, Mike, you're on Orange is the New Black, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm Danny Pearson.
Okay, hell yeah, you are. Moral voice for prison reform, right?
That's right.
Against
That's
corporatizations.
Right.
like you, Bree.
Research.
I'm pretty sure she just cheered for research.
Well, by the way, you know, wait, Bree, you're a college professor. Let me start by saying that. So research is not something, you know, you research. That's what you do, right?
This is what I do. This is true. I graduated with my PhD in history last year, and I've done my research on the Netherlands, and I specifically look at torture and propaganda. And so, I'm a historian by trade, but I teach English at a university, and then I'm also a professional dance instructor and coach. So
you're not unlike a character that Anna played earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Who has a lot
when you
of
hear
professions.
It back, I'll
be excited to hear it.
Oh, she was atrocious, not like
so,
you.
Yeah,
then.
So calling about some problems that I'm going through with my husband and his family. And so I've been with my husband. We started dating in 1997. We were together the whole time through 2005 when we got engaged, and then we didn't get married until 2011. It's been a long-term relationship, and I feel like I just have to preface this call by saying that I do dearly love my husband. He's so kind and honest. He's loving and smart, and he's just a good man. So basically, there has been nonstop pressure from his family for us to have a baby. And the bottom line, something that I've been real clear with him since I was a teenager, I knew I just didn't want to have a child. I just knew that that wasn't something that I personally wanted, and I've explored it a lot and talked to a lot of friends in different situations. And so, you know, he tells me that he's happy, but I just have this nagging suspicion that he's not, and that he's waiting for me to have this ovarian revelation that I'm ready to have children, and I just feel like he's waiting for me to come around to something.
I'm starring in that film Ovarian Revelation this fall.
This sounds like a hit.
It's a straight to Epics.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, okay. It's straight to Epics.
Great channel.
But,
great channel.
It's a great channel.
You know. It's tough, and, you know, my family, I have a good relationship with my parents and my siblings, but they're not, they're kind of just like, you know, we trust you, like, do what you want, like, go to, you know, teach with your PhD and be a dancer and have your, you know, I work at a dance studio, so I work with kids, so it's not an issue of me not enjoying children, but what has been happening lately is that there's been a lot of very, I don't even know if they're passive-aggressive comments so much as cruel comments. Like his grandmother had told me on Mother's Day, you know, which was, I was already a little like, fuck, this is going to be a rough life on Mother's Day. And I had just, you know, told grandma, I was like, well, happy Mother's Day. And she was like, well, I would tell you happy Mother's Day, but you're not a mother, are you?
Oh, God.
So, she's kind of old. She's like almost 80. And, you know, I'm like, you know, people say shit that's mean all the time, but for some reason that just really hurt me, especially on that day. Like, she was essentially saying, I'm not worthy, the golden child, my husband. And, you know, his mom has even told me, and I do love my mother-in-law dearly. She's very special to me. And she told me a couple of years back that she didn't think our relationship would last because she knew that I didn't want to have children. She had expected that Jason would break up with me, you know, years ago. And so that's, it's like, cruel. Things like that. It's pretty hurtful. what Tim and I talked about earlier was that, you know, it's like all of these accomplishments that I've had, you know, a PhD, and really happy and successful with my job as a dancer and a dance instructor, and the traveling that we've done, and Jason really does seem to be happy. It just doesn't seem like that's enough for his family. And because the pressure is so intense, and because they have such a close relationship with my husband, I cannot help but constantly question if my husband is actually happy.
Okay. So first of all, having a child is completely your decision, number one. Number two, if you did, the onus is really, I'm sorry, men out there, and you guys,
no
right
offense,
now.
No offense, David.
But it really falls heavy on the mom. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm the organizer of, you know, the diaper situation or the nanny situation, or, and we're lucky because we have resources, but it falls on me more than Chris, and Chris is an unbelievable father, but it just does. It's just how nature goes, sadly. So it is a major, major lifestyle decision, especially. It's much easier for a man, I think. Right. And, you know, I don't mean to piss people off here, but it is easier for a man to say, like,
we have a father right here as well. You're a man, and you're also a father.
I'm Mike Birbiglia, and I'm a man. I'm here to weigh in. I think that Anna is correct.
It's a much heavier burden in so many different ways on a woman. And if you made it clear, I don't think you should feel coerced at all by anybody in your life to embark on a journey that you said from the get-go you're not ready for, nor do you want. And I'm just so sorry, though, that your husband's family is pressuring you into like making you feel guilty. And I tell you what, if you ever had a child, it only gets worse. The guilt just compiles itself like fucking Mount Everest.
But
right?
Anna, don't babies fix everything in marriages? Tell me the truth, Anna. Doesn't it fix everything?
But so even if let's say you like decided to cave and be like, okay, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby for my husband and for my husband's family. They'll be, you know, happy, whatever. And they'll pop by and they'll be like, oh, yay, hooray. Oh, what a beautiful child. And then they're gone. And then you're left like cleaning up all the shit and the nursing and like not having time for yourself. And so all those things and I only just want to put this into perspective, because I just want you to feel strong in your decision, and they should respect that, and I don't think that you need to be aggressive with them. You don't sound like that kind of person. You sound incredibly rational, but I think that they need to understand your position in all of this, and. Right. It's so wonderfully acceptable to choose to not do the child rearing thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that's so guilt, like as women, we feel so guilty for not like, you know, giving birth to 13 children of our, you know, man's spawn.
Brie, I feel like you've been cast in Rosemary's Baby, but you didn't audition. And so you need to maybe just be clear that you didn't audition for this.
I have a lot
well,
of...
And that's, I think what's been, it's kind of just been a lonely journey, I suppose, for me anyway. You know, the degree program was so intense, and no one in Jason's immediate family or my immediate family had even gone to college, let alone pursue this degree. And so it always felt like you're like, hey, like, good job writing your paper. And I'm like, actually, it was a dissertation, which is basically a book.
Yes.
So it feels like they were always waiting for me to kind of get this out of my system.
Way to go with your paragraph that you wrote.
Like, get it out. And then
great
I could,
job
like,
with your
be,
YouTube comment.
You know.
You wrote.
So they're sort of threatened by your ambition
and
your
academia. I think that's been hard too, is, you know, I don't necessarily want people, you know, praising these achievements every day, but it really feels like there's nothing I can do that meets the expectation of accomplishment or, you know, would make them quite as proud as if I meet their firstborn son, the first grandchild, the first grandson. You know, my husband is a father. And it's hard. And I talk to him a lot. And I'm like, I wish he could understand the pressure, because it's so intense. Like, it is intense for real. And my sister-in-law just had a beautiful baby girl about a year ago, and it's gotten even harder since then.
You know? Oh, it's gotten harder.
They have three grandchildren, sure, yeah. And it's hard. And I know, Anna, like, I'm really trying not to be aggressive, but it's hard. And I think one of the toughest things is...
I don't think you're being aggressive at all.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, it's hard for me to even want to hold, sorry.
No.
It might be worth, I'm sorry to interrupt, Brie, but like, it might be worth seeing a therapist if you can, to talk about it. Because I was reluctant to have a child for a long time. And I talked to a therapist about it, and it helped me kind of talk through what I was afraid of. Ultimately, I decided to have a child with my wife, but I also could have gone the other way.
Right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Did she ever say to you, did she want a child?
At the outset, neither of us wanted to. And at a certain
point,
she wanted to. And so I was like, well, let me consider it. And I went to a therapist and I talked it through. And ultimately, I decided, you know, because I used to have this joke, I don't want to have kids until I'm sure that nothing else good can happen in my life. which is how I feel. I mean, or how I felt. And then... You know, and I have a baby daughter now, and I'm thrilled.
Right.
But that's not everyone's experience. It's not, you know, you don't want to have a child and then be resentful of the child, and that's not good for anybody.
And also, Brie, so at 35 I got pregnant, and I had my son at 36, and now I'm getting the, are you gonna have another? So are
never ends.
So it never ends.
Yes. So there's no easy solution to this, and but I do think what you need to do in order to be happy is to really, I know it sounds horrible, but to be selfish. You made things clear, and and you're not gonna, you know, if you had a kid for the sake of your husband's family, that is not going to make you happy.
I understand the family part. Now, what about the husband part?
Right. You know, we were so young. We were high school sweethearts. I was 16 and he was 17, and he was like basketball star, and I was like dance team captain. So it was like this very kind of sweet romantic love story where our future future was very much like, we can't wait to share our lives together. And really in our dialogue, it was never, let's start a family. I can't wait to start a family. Like, it was like, where are we going to travel? Like, I want to go to, you know, walk the Mordor Trail in New Zealand or something like that. Like, it was something more like us being out in the world, which is what we always wanted. And really, we've done that. We've traveled a lot. You know, we had a super sweet engagement in Paris while I was there for research. And, you know, he's gone with me on a lot of my research trips. And I've loved that he's been a part of that and experienced that. But it's never, it never was a discussion like, hey, I can't wait to start a family. And so I think it's hard because I feel like my anger and frustration and why I continue questioning him, it's my own insecurities, like what Mike said, like maybe this needs to be, you know, talked out more with a therapist. But I feel like it's more my own insecurities and I'm projecting it onto him. Like, are you sure? Do you not really want a kid? Are you sure? And I feel like maybe that's, I don't want to drive him away or make him question his decision if he's really committed. But I feel like I just can't accept it on face value because I know what his family wants, which sounds, and it sounds so crazy because I feel like, you know, I'm super feminist, you know, very independent. I don't let other people's opinions of my life influence me, but for some reason, this is like a big blanket that I cannot shake off. And it's hard to, because it makes me feel like I'm betraying all of my sensibilities, like everything else. I'm like, don't tell me how to live my life, motherfucker. And now I'm like, you know, there's some cruel comments that come out and suddenly I'm like, oh, reduced to this, you know, insecure mess questioning my relationship. And I hate it. And I'm angry and I need some direction.
I totally don't blame you. You are so valid in all of this. But wait, does your husband bring it up at all? Or is it mostly just his family?
It's his family, and then I bring it up, and anytime we're going to go over and see them, like, I get super tense and super stressed out because I'm like, is grandma going to pop off on me again? Like, am I going to be able to control myself if somebody says something? And I go over really defensive, and I can't enjoy being around them because I'm, like, constantly loaded, waiting for someone to say something.
So are you guys able to, all right, so here's number one, I would not bring it up to your husband again if you can avoid that. Just, you know, just if you can, just sort of bite your tongue.
But it's going to come up again.
Well, but with his family. But if he's not bringing it up in front of her.
He never brings it up?
Intimately.
Bree, he never brings it up? Ever?
No, I'm the one. Every time.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? So try, yeah, if you can, like, don't bring it up in front of him at all. Because then that just compounds his weird, the pressure that he's getting on all ends. Number two, if you guys can take a 2-week travel break and go to someplace very like crazy, like Cambodia or something.
Yeah.
And do one of those things that you guys had always talked about doing travel wise. I think mm-hmm. that would be like, start planning something like that. And number three, I think if you can attempt to brush off the family pressure, but it will always be there. But you know what? It's going to be there no matter what. Let's say you right. had a baby for them, and then they're going to still be like, well, you should be doing this and you should be doing this.
Right. You should
and then
be
when's,
you
and when's the next?
This, right.
So, exactly.
Wait, you think like when she has a baby, it's going to be a lot worse if, as far as a family
I'm just
is
saying,
concerned? They're going to be in their face
oh,
more?
Yeah. If they're already like that now, then it's only going to compound itself in various ways. And then it will really be like the conversation is like, when's the next one coming? Well, this
right.
one should have a sibling or, right. you know, and so the idea of it sort of accepting that there's going to be this kind of family pressure on her because she is the wife of the golden child, then like as soon as Bree, you can sort of understand that these people are going to put pressure on you no matter what you do.
Right.
And that's part of the, I don't know, the learning curve. But you should definitely not have a child for them. And
see Sleepwalk with Me, because that's my first movie. It's about
yeah.
how I was in a relationship where my girlfriend at the time wanted to get married and have a child, and I didn't. And a lot of people came up to me afterwards and said that I broke up with my person.
They did,
because
huh?
of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, of course.
And I always say, like, that's probably for the best, because a lot of times I feel like we put off breaking up with someone because there's a security in being with them. And and I think that you sound like a really independent person, and I think you should honor your instincts and not feel pressure to do something so extreme just because you want to be with this person, because you're a unique and special person on your own. You don't need someone to complete that.
Yeah. And, totally. You know, having a kid is fucking hard. It's so fucking hard.
It's very hard.
And I'm like the most blessed of all people. Like, I have a lot of resource and wonderful family and a ton of help. But it's so fucking hard. And I love my son. So grateful for the whole journey and everything. But the idea of getting on board again with another child is terrifying, and maybe we'll be lucky enough to do it again or but whatever, but it's still, I know that the onus will be on me more than my sweet husband, who does an unbelievable job, but it still is sort of, it's very much on a woman, and in a way that guys don't quite realize.
Right.
For so many reasons.
Can I ask you a question, Bree?
Stick by your guns, Bree.
Hey, let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
If you went to your husband's name is Jason, right?
Right.
If you said, Jason, look, I just want you to know that I don't think I ever want to have a baby. Are you okay with that? If you said that to him right now, what would his response be?
Well, I actually did say that to him tonight because I was getting, you know, prepped for my talk with you guys. And I was like, oh, I want to see what's going on with my husband. And again, this is where he's so fantastic. He's so supportive. And he's like, you know, Bree, I love you. Like, I love our life together. And this is all I need. And it's so honest. And it comes from such a good place. And it's hard because, you know, he's just looking deep into my eyes with his beautiful blue eyes and his kind soul when he's saying this. But I feel even worse because I'm still like, am I enough? And it's hard. And I hate questioning it.
But
and
this was the understanding that you guys had when you started dating, you know, this is not a surprise to him. I know things change and people grow during the relationships, but you've always maintained this throughout your entire relationship.
Right. There's always been, you know, we knew what we wanted. We're career oriented. You know, we'd love to travel. We love our little, you know, family with our little dogs and our cat. And, you know, that is fulfilling for us. And we're so happy. And it's again, it makes me feel even worse because as this, you know, modern woman, I feel like I've sometimes risen above these social expectations or familial expectations, and then
there's
I still am the one that's kind of bringing this weight into our relationship, you know, and I'm just like, are you sure? Do you? And it's like devaluing myself and, you know, I don't want him to question if he really is truly there where I hope he is, you know, like he's telling me. I don't want him to start questioning it or be like, well, what does she actually want? And it's causing just so much strife and just so much unevenness in our relationship. And but for
him, I feel
him,
like you might want to ask him to stick up for you with his family.
Good. That's great.
Yeah.
Mike, fucking
Mike
awesome.
Nailed it.
No, seriously, that's amazing.
It really is true. And, you know,
does he do that ever? He never does that, does he?
No, he hasn't done that. And, you know, even on the Mother's Day, when his grandma, you know, sweet, almost 80-year-old grandma was like, well, you're not a mother yet, are you? And I turned to her in, you know, a granddaughterly way. Was like, that is so rude to say that. And he kind of stepped up. He hadn't heard the whole exchange, but he was like, babe, what's going on? And it was this very defensive, you know, feature. And I went over to his sister And I was like, Grandma just said this to me. And she's like, oh, you know, Grandma. And I'm like, God damn it. And, you know, it's some of the things
it's his
do,
family. Like, it's going to be really hard for him to ever do that. It's going to be tough. You know, when it's your own family, it's really hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. And I think that, but you guys are both right in the sense that maybe he might need to...
He needs to step up. He needs to step up. He has to. He needs to say, look, this
is
my...
It's very hard for men, isn't
it? But here's what he has to do. He has to say, this is the love of my life. I've been with her since 2000 and whatever it was. She is my life partner. She's my best friend. And just because we don't have a baby doesn't mean that we have a fulfilling life together.
Right.
We love each other. So please back off our relationship.
Right.
He needs to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because she can't say that, it's his family. Right. But how does your family feel, by the way?
They, you know, I'm not very close with my family, but they've always known that, you know, I wanted this degree, I wanted this university job, I wanted to travel, you know, that, and they've never said anything otherwise. They're super supportive. And, you know, even when, you know, Jason's family tries to flip the script and, you know, they're like, oh, don't you want grandchildren? My mom's like, whatever my kids want to do, I'm cool with it. And I'm like, thanks, Mom. But then it still kind of burns, you know, an ulcer into my heart.
I
don't want my parents to be in that position. And then I'm like, well, shit, am I like hurting my family because they don't have parents? So it's like, it's definitely a cluster. And I feel like I have support from Jason, and I just maybe not where I need it most.
You need to go. What Mike said is right. This is my opinion, and Anna, maybe you disagree, but I feel like it has to be on Jason. It has to be on your husband to talk to your family because you can't do that.
Yeah, right?
I'm already the villain.
Yes, exactly. And listen, I mean, all in-law relationships are kind of loaded with that idea. Especially because you're successful and they want like little babies that they can coddle and then leave, you know, they get to leave.
That's right.
And, you know, they want to see like their genes in motion. But I think that your husband does need to understand the guilt that you feel. And also, what you're speaking to, like all women in America, in the sense that how do we accomplish what we want to accomplish and also attempt to, you know, have a family and
having it all, this never-ending dilemma.
Yeah. And I applaud you for knowing what you want. I think that's really incredible. And it sounds like your husband is totally on board. And I don't know. I think that if you can maybe attempt to dismiss some of their passive aggressive weird comments and just sort of pocket them and not and just be like, well, you know, I've got a lot on my plate. I'm still young or whatever. 'Cause you are still young. You're young.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, you don't need to make any, you can put it off. If you want, if you ever wanted to have a kid, you can do it at like fucking 45.
Right.
These people here do it all the time in Hollywood.
These people here.
I'm hoping that I could. Maybe. If I want one. Another one.
We have,
it's a pain in the ass. So don't do it, Bree.
Bree, we do have to go. But before we go, we're going to get final advice from Mike and then from Anna. Okay. So Mike... Let Bree know.
So final advice is just just to ask your husband to stick up for you in those situations just because you deserve it. Because you're being frank about your feelings. And then if he's not willing to stick up for you, then I would walk.
And that's actually
my advice, Bree, is to, if you can, I don't know what your schedule's like, but I would definitely go on another journey with him.
That seems really smart.
I would go to like a place that you guys have wanted to go to for a long time that feels a little adventurous, a little bit scary. You guys love traveling. I would try to make that a priority if you can. I know that you guys are both really busy, but
we were married in the Caribbean on St. Martin in 2001.
Ooh, beautiful.
So going back to the Caribbean in December for a nice little pre-Christmas trip.
Good.
But I like the idea of doing something new and just different and not safe for us.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who knows? Who knows what'll happen? But making sure, I think having some open communication with your husband and telling him how you feel, how his family, as much as you love them, which is so nice that you say that. I would definitely reinforce that idea. But but also mention, you know, that this is something that makes you feel bad, and you don't quite know how to navigate these waters. And but also you can't wait to get some more stamps on your passport.
You know? That's what this episode should be called. Stamps on the passport.
Hey, Bree.
Bree, thank you.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, though,
guys.
You are so not alone.
This is so great. Sim, you were so great to talk to you earlier today and getting that story out. And Mike, I'm such a huge fan. Thank you for the advice.
Thank you so much.
I definitely think the advice for some marriage counseling or just some therapy would be good, just as a rule anyway, right?
Right.
I mean, we've been together.
You can never go wrong with that.
I love you so much.
Well, I love you too.
All of your podcasts, and you know, all of your fans. Your open heart, it just touches all of us, and it makes me feel like this is a safe place to call in with something that's so heavy.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Bree, send me an email. Let me know how it worked out.
I definitely will send a follow up. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so much, Bree.
Thank you. All the advice. You're so great. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Oh man,
it's a heartbreaker.
It is truly, though. I know you guys might not feel this way, but it really is. Like, having a kid is, it's so much of a woman's decision.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
I completely agree with you.
I wish it wasn't like that.
I see your side of it entirely. That's a hard one because also it's a relationship from high school.
Yeah.
And you change so much in your 20s.
You change so much.
And so he might be in a different place right now. And so they might have to come to grips with that.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a different place and he's in a different place. But
you do give up as a woman. You give up a lot more than a man has to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to wrap your head around. And it's, I don't know, that's why...
No, this is good. I'm glad we had this
call. That's why birth rates in developed nations are plummeting. Because women are realizing, like, well, why would I want to do this?
Yes.
It's going to require so much more.
My style of parenting is sort of a Don Draper style. Are you familiar with the show Mad Men?
Yes.
I'm sort of around... You know, pop in and out. I'm at work.
I'm at work mostly.
Oh my god!
But I pop in and give everybody a hug, and then I'm on my way.
Did he give hugs?
Every now and then, he'd give a hug.
you and I were talking earlier that your daughter is how old now? 15 months?
Yeah.
So now you're finally at the point where you're having fun with her, right?
Yeah, the first year is so hard because it's like...
They're blobs.
They're just a blob. They're screaming blobs. And they're lovely, but they're also like... It's just...
They're so selfish.
Yeah, well, they're like a patient in the emergency room for like a year.
And you never knew that you had to be a nurse.
Yeah. And it's hard. And I have my, you know, I have a sleep disorder. And so
yeah,
I can't share the overnight stuff.
Okay, wait. Can we talk about like Ambien use?
I don't take Ambien, but I take Klonopin.
Ambien is the best, by the way. I don't know. I've never tried Klonopin.
Yeah. Well, I have a very specific sleep disorder. I have REM behavior disorder.
Okay, so I read something about that. Can you explain? Because I read something crazy. I'm sure people have asked you about this before. But
I know you walked out of a La Quinta.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Walla Walla.
So I jumped through a second story window in my sleep.
So what did you land? What did you land into?
On the front lawn. I landed, fell
did you get
down,
hurt?
Got up, kept running. It's kind of like when people, where the drunk driver is always fine. After the accident.
Right.
Where it's like my body
was
just limp and relaxed and jumping through the window and then landing in the front lawn and I kept running.
Where'd you go?
I was running and then running and I'm slowly realizing I'm on the front lawn of La Quinta Inn in Walla Walla, Washington, in my underwear, bleeding. And I was like, oh no. And I walked to the front desk and explained to the guy what happened.
What did the front desk guy say?
Well, fortunately, he was a little bit sort of slow. Like he was like, I was like, hi. I said, I'm staying at the hotel. Had an incident where I jumped through the window. I'm bleeding and I need to go to a hospital. And he was just like, all right. And so I drove myself to the hospital. It was like the scene in Reservoir Dogs. I'm bleeding and shouting. I checked myself into the front desk. It was like the nurse, the doctor. I'm like the Hulk. You know, that was the way I explained it.
Yeah.
I'm like the Hulk. I jumped through the window. And then they put stitches in my legs. And now I'm diagnosed with this thing. And I take medication. I sleep in a sleeping bag when I go to bed at night.
Wait. You sleep in a sleeping bag. So
yeah.
It's sort of like how a baby is cradled so they can't leave.
Yeah.
It's like you're kind of like a straitjacket.
Like a straitjacket, yeah.
Every time you sleep. What about when you travel? Like right now, you're in LA. You live in New York.
I travel with a sleeping bag.
Do you sweat, though, in the sleeping bag?
I do. I have like a summer sleep sack. It's sort of thin. Yeah. It's tough. I feel guilt about it all the time because, you know,
Why?
We have a daughter. Because I can't stay up through the night like my wife, Jen, who's an amazing mother, does. She's up all night with Una and feeding through the night and all that stuff. And I can't do it because I have to sleep in the other room. I lock myself in another room sleeping. It's you know, we all have our thing, but that's definitely my thing.
I want that thing.
No, you don't.
I mean, I don't, but I do. I want to be able to sleep in another room in a sleeping bag and wrap myself
up.
That's
a whole other episode.
Okay.
We have one more call, guys. You guys ready for Mariah? We're going to call Mariah right now. And Mariah is in Missouri, and she's 34 years old.
How you doing? Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm a little sleepy because
I know because it's
hello,
weird.
Mariah.
Hi, Mariah.
That's me.
Hi, it's Sim.
It's Missouri Mariah.
Anna is here, as is Mike Birbiglia from Don't Think Twice, the most amazing movie of the year. You have to see it.
It's so good.
Awesome. I will.
Thanks.
What part of Missouri?
I'm sorry. What part of Missouri?
A very rural area, like in the Ozarks.
Oh, in the Ozarks.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty.
Is it beautiful?
Have you seen Winter's Bone?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 2 hours from where they filmed it, and it was pretty accurate.
Okay.
Okay. So, very remote.
Not a lot of people.
I'm a teacher, so I'm trying to keep it on the down low.
Gotcha.
We got you, Mariah. So, tell us why you're concerned about your relationship. Why are you concerned that this relationship may not survive?
Well, this is hard for me to say. He is an avid Trump supporter.
Ooh.
He loves Trump.
love him. Okay, wait. And he's a veteran.
Oh, boy. Okay, give us some background.
Yeah.
How long have you been dating?
Okay, we've been together for about a year. It's slim pickings in our area. So you know, you just kind of go on dates with people that are available that aren't, you know, that have their teeth. Okay? So I feel so bad right now. So we're, like, madly in love, though. It's, like, very, like, passionate. Like, have you guys seen the movie the TV show Outlander?
I know that they travel through different. I know. Everyone loves it.
I've been reading the books for years. It's so sexy. He's my Jamie. Like, we're into each other like that. And it only keeps getting better. And, like, he's seen me pluck my chin hairs and was not grossed out by me.
Oh, my God. I love you.
Right? What'd she say?
I love you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, you know, that stuff happens and he still wants me. So there's that. That's why I'm still with him. But so I guess the ultimate question is, can our relationship like last through time?
Because, yes.
You know, with politics, like you guys get it. Like Trump is bad. Okay.
Yes. Okay. But here's the thing. Okay. So, okay. Well, and I want to grill you a little bit more before I give my advice, but,
okay.
My early thoughts are this, you let him ride it out and you be like the sweet, patient listener. And I am a feminist and I wouldn't ever give this advice normally.
Okay.
But I think you love him. He loves you. You like listen patiently to his little diatribes as he goes on, especially through this whole election process. And if you really love him and you really believe in it, he's going to eventually come around because what he wants is a fight right now. You know what I mean? He wants someone to play his devil's advocate. He wants to like sort of rear his head a little bit. Which is seems to me like what a lot of Trump supporters want. So I think you just patiently kind of wait it out, sweetly nod your head, just bite your tongue. I know as a feminist, I'm so sorry to give this kind of horrible advice, but...
actually, you've nailed it a little bit.
But I do think that you just sort of ride it out and trust that in a year from now, or whatever, when everything sort of is like sort of like settles down.
Hopefully November it settles down.
Hopefully November, right. But it won't for him. It'll be a long time. If he gets burned, it'll be a long time. If you really do love him and you believe in him, then I think you just ride it out and just say, oh yeah, that's interesting. And play like the passive person. I know this sounds so horrible, but here's the hope. Later on, when all is settled and he feels heard in one way or the other, then you can slowly infiltrate.
Okay.
What do you mean by that exactly?
I mean, you slowly, after like passions are settled, like after his fire is a little bit dulled, then eventually you say things like, gosh, it's so cool that, you know, as a woman, it does feel really cool that a woman is president.
But
not now at all.
Okay.
No, you have to wait a long time to do
yes,
this.
Yes,
I tweeted the other night, my phone's in the room, but. I tweeted the other night a photo of my daughter, my 15-month-old daughter, pointing at the TV screen at Hillary Clinton, giving her acceptance speech at the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And I said, my daughter, Una, has hashtag goals.
I love that.
That's amazing.
And I love that.
So, I will say, like, if you're going to have children, I do think that it's worth discussing that. Having a woman president is an important moment for our country. I agree with Anna. You don't have to necessarily have that conversation now.
He's looking for a little bit of a fight, and I just don't want it to be with you. You know what I mean?
He hates Hillary. He hates her.
Yeah. Well, he's also being...
Yeah, he's also being a little ornery.
Told by a type of media.
Yeah, he's been a little ornery, and that's okay. That's okay if he's a little ornery. And I agree with Mike. He's being told and whatever. But I think that you just, if you like him enough, if you're in love with him enough, you wait this out and see if he becomes kind of a more introspective man in 9 to 10 months from now.
He is a little younger than you.
Oh, that's key. That's key.
I'm 34.
Why is that key?
That's key because he's naturally a little more angry.
Young people are angrier than older people?
Yes.
Well, yeah. he went to war very young. He's 31, I'm 34, and it doesn't seem like a huge difference, but there is a difference in maturity a little bit, mm-hmm. and the anger. He's so angry.
How does he feel about like the Khan family, for example, speaking at the
DNC? About the what?
Oh, well, do not have to bring that up with him.
Well, no. Yeah. I was curious if that came up.
I haven't talked to him about that yet.
Okay,
that
hasn't
come up don't. Yet.
Like, don't talk about it.
I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Well, just...
So she shouldn't bring up politics at all, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, and I've told him that. I've said, we cannot talk about politics. It's not healthy for us. And he'll bring it up. He'll find a way to bring it up because she was right.
That's annoying. That's really annoying.
It's very, very, very annoying.
My dad is not a Trump supporter per se. He really hates Hillary, and so we have to sort of not talk about politics.
Yeah.
There's a moratorium on talking about politics when I visit my folks.
I think... Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that if you believe in this relationship, you may have to be patient and not take his bait because he'll want to talk to you about it. And I think you, because I really think that there's a lot of irrational feelings flying around all over the place right now. And so if you, and I do think that things will settle down. I believe in that. So I think that you may have to be patient with him if you love him enough. If you don't love him enough, then dump him his ass.
I guess this is the test, you know? Like,
yeah, but he's also testing you in an angry way, you know?
But that's true. Yeah.
Like it sounds to me like he really wants you to take his bait and rise up to his level of anger, and so you guys can explode.
And I do. I get so angry.
yeah, and I think that you probably shouldn't, because that's only solidifying his stance and solidifying your stance. So
yes.
There's no dialogue that can actually be productive or happy or like make you guys actually join together. So I think that this means that you have to, it'll frustrate him if you suddenly back off, which might be delicious.
I could just distract him with my boobs. I mean,
love it.
You know.
That might be fantastic.
I feel like if boobs ran for president, he might vote for boobs.
Especially mine.
Ooh, I kind of need to see a picture right now.
Third party candidate. Boobs.
No, but don't let politics. Don't let him like get your goat. Don't let him. Don't let him bait you in any way. And that's my advice. And also, like, if this, I think that people are feverish and foolish right now.
And oh, very.
In the light of all, like, of this whole election season. And so they're acting on crazy, illogical emotion. And so don't take the bait that he's setting for you, because he doesn't even know that he's doing it. He just wants a little bit of a battle right now. And, and unfortunately that might be with you. And so don't take it. Just say, oh, that's interesting. Oh, uh-huh. Hmm. Like, I'm serious.
It's got to be hard, though. It's got to be hard for her.
Of course.
If someone said that to you, Anna, there's no way you could just take it, though.
Oh, you know what I do?
I know you, and there's no way you could just say...
Do you know what I do?
What do you do?
I drink a little tequila, and I nod. Yep, that's what I do. Yeah. Well, and you're just like,
You know, the scotch.
I'm tired. I'm going to go... Yeah, I'm going to go watch a little television. Do you want to come watch some television with me? Like...
And he's like, sure, Fox News.
No, but truly, like I think that we pick our battles, and if someone is continuing to try to pick a specific one with you continually, you can only do so much, and then at some point it's like, well, I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm going to mentally check out and just listen. Maybe just listen to him, you know, listen to his rants, and because he might have a lot of pain from being a veteran, and he's got a lot of stuff going on, so maybe just not rise to his level of anger, and hear him and make him feel like he's being listened to. Because that's a lot of the Trump supporters, too, is that the idea that there's a large population that don't feel like they're being listened to. And
that's exactly right. It's especially poor, I hate to say this, poor white men.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the demo I'm seeing a lot of where I'm at. Like,
yeah.
It's very interesting. As a history teacher, for me, it's just an interesting thing to watch.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine, especially as a history teacher, because you're seeing so many patterns. Oh my god, I can't even. Ugh, oh
yeah. Yeah.
Are you willing to take this advice? Can you do that? Can
I know.
You kind of?
Is it awful? It's like anti-feminist, but I am a feminist. But. The idea that
this is the most surprising advice.
Really?
Because it's very mature and it's very just like, you know what, because you care more about the relationship than the politics, which is amazing, it's great, but it's frustrating, it's angering,
of course, but people are feeling really lost right now, and I don't know, and angry and not feeling heard,
right? And but you're saying the relationship is first. Write it out.
If she loves him as much as she claims.
Yeah, she does.
I believe in it. Then
then write it out. Don't say anything. Keep quiet until
and
past November.
Okay. That's right. And
I will do my hardest.
You know what? And I got to tell you, there is so much strength in silence. And then eventually, you know, 10, 11 months from now, he may come around and you may be calling us and saying, like, you know what, we found common ground with some ideas or something.
I just have one question, which is how has he dealt with the Obama presidency? Has he been?
You don't even want me to go there. Yeah.
But I imagine it's negative, but is it so negative that it negatively affects your relationship with him?
It can. Not too much. I think because his response to it is to support Trump, even though like him and other veterans that I know of will complain about Obama not having served and is the commander in chief. And yet they're supporting Trump, who definitely has not.
There's nothing you can do, though. You can't say like, well, George W. Bush like didn't serve, like whatever.
Exactly.
Like there's nothing you can.
You can't win an argument. You can't win an argument.
If somebody's determined right now, they're determined. The only thing you can do is not take the bait.
Okay.
That's all you can do is just try to be as patient. If you love him, if you don't love him, then you
cut the cord. Cut the cord if she doesn't love him?
Yeah.
Was it not a deal breaker? His behavior during the Obama presidency, was that a deal breaker?
It hasn't been that long, though.
It's been a year.
Oh, it's been a year.
A year since, yeah.
If that's not a deal breaker, he has more of that coming. And so you should be okay?
Right.
But to be clear, I want to make sure that he's not... when things are bad, that he's not abusive towards you.
Oh, no, 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 no. Definitely not.
Yeah, that's very important.
That's a fair question. I understand why you're asking that question. No, 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 no.
No, but he fell in love with an educated, like, strong woman, and that's why he's trying to, like, bait her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You think there's part of, like, he's intimidated by her?
Oh, totally.
By her education, by her success, yes. by all of that?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that. I've never said that. And he does get, if he thinks I've called him stupid, he gets very upset. Like, mm-hmm. not upset like the, what you're worried about. Not that kind of upset, but.
Will he hear this podcast?
Will he what?
Will he hear this podcast?
I hope not. I don't think so. I haven't really told anybody. And, you know, he doesn't listen to the kind of liberal things I listen to. So,
if he does,
I haven't said anything.
No, you haven't.
I haven't said anything.
All you said is that you love him and you want to be with
him. Yeah. But I do think that sort of the respect and understanding is incredibly important. And it sounds to me like your sweet boyfriend is not feeling heard by society right now, and he's feeling small.
Oh, yeah.
And so you may have to, if you want to, just hear him, and maybe in that he'll find a way to actually hear other voices as well.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I will do my best. I was thinking...
Sorry.
But just always stick up for... I also would say just stick up for yourself, though. Make sure that the bottom line is that, that you're being respected.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that...
That's so true. Anna's, she sounds very strong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I agree with what Anna's saying, but only in relation to him being a good partner and a respectful partner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's that like... macho guy that wants to take care of me, so like
that's sexy. That's sexy.
Yeah, it is really sexy, and he's so hot, you guys. He's so hot.
like Trump.
Trump.
So I guess the final advice, which I probably have already said a gazillion times, I'm so sorry, dear listeners, but I would say maybe. If you can, do not rise to the occasion when he wants you to.
Or as Michelle Obama says, when they go low, you go high.
Yeah. And,
exactly.
And that's right. And just sort of listen, nod, and just be like, I hear you. That's interesting. I hear you.
This won't even be a conversation past November. I promise you.
If we all vote. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because if that weirdo... gross man does win, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, come move to Los Angeles and I don't know.
You can move in with Anna, by the way. She has room in her,
with me.
In her attic.
Yep, in my attic. And my sweet husband also does have like a whole, we've got a ton of like, what are they called? We've got like a ton of like earthquake kits and
survival kits.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, we've got a ton of canned food.
Awesome. Water, bottled water,
emergency blankets.
Wow.
Cool.
Anything you might need when the shit goes down.
That's right. Okay. Well,
tell your boyfriend that.
Okay.
Will you keep us posted, Brad?
Thank you so much.
And listen, you are fighting the good fight. Oh, I love you.
And go see Don't Think Twice at the Ozarks Bowtie Cinemas.
Thanks, Mariah.
Well,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Good night.
Mariah, I adore you.
I adore you guys, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Sim doesn't know how to...
I can't figure it out.
I couldn't fucking turn it off.
That was a good caller.
You and I talked about this. You're like, we're not going to get political on this show. We're right. just not. We've right. always discussed that. And I know I'm sorry this is a little bit of curveball, but I didn't think this would... This is political in nature, but it's more about relationships.
Yeah.
So we never really got political. And I didn't know what your what how you felt about Trump, or mm-hmm. I just assumed, because you seem like a rational person. but I decided to put this call on because...
No, a lot it was of
people
awesome.
I'm sure people are going through this right now.
Yeah, it was awesome. And truly, though, I don't mean to back off from my feminist standpoint, but I do think that when people are looking for a fight right now, then you just sort of have to take a little bit of a step back, let somebody feel heard, as opposed to taking the truly like taking the bait of
right.
Am I You know, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Who gave me a fucking microphone? Mike?
I was not involved, but I support it.
Oh my God. All right, so let's wrap it up.
Sim's doing the swirly finger thing.
I said wrap it up. Usually I just do this, and then she calls me on it.
I know, it's so...
You don't like it? I'll stop doing it then.
No, I need you to do it.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up right now then.
I know, but all I think about is like a soft serve ice cream when you do that.
You've never seen this ever? You've never seen this movement where
Of course I've seen this.
Okay,
I've been
good.
Fucking the entertainment industry for fucking 20 years, you dick. I know what this means, but when you do it, you have long fingers.
Yes, Sam. That's with your freaky long fingers.
Yeah.
Mike. Okay, Mike. Mike. We love you, first
we
of all.
We love you so
love
much.
You
we love you. We love your movie.
Thank I'm going to get don't you an Uber. Twice.
All right.
We'll get
thanks.
You an Uber for sure. You
this know, is we don't so leave. Fun.
Have you having a good time?
I want to sleep over. Can I stay over?
Yeah.
You can totally stay over
I'm
in
saying
my
yeah,
attic.
No, I have no authority to say yeah.
In your attic with the survival kit?
Wait, what are you going to do to Mike when you bring him to the attic?
I don't think I'll have to do much. Normally I would conk somebody like over the head with yeah. a small like candlestick or something, but
survival
I don't think
kit
I'll have
probably
to do,
has a
you are already looking a little bit bag. Sleepy
survival kit probably has a sleeping bag, so I should be fine.
It's like one of those silver emergency blankets.
This has been so fun though, you guys. I really didn't know what to expect when I came in the Uber.
Yeah,
and this is
no.
such a pleasant
no one
surprise.
Never expects it.
No.
This is where we're a surprise.
What do you mean? Go on. We're just
a, yes, please tell
so
us.
Fun.
That's all you have. That's this.
No,
is
I
only...
mean, I will say this.
This is the best podcast you've ever been on. Just
I will
tell
say
us. Best podcast ever. Tell us. Please.
It's the most chill podcast I've ever been on.
Well, that's good.
That's good. We'll take that.
Super
we'll
good.
Take it. All right.
It's super chill.
Wait, you had more fun on Marin? Is that what it is?
No, Marin came after me both times when I was on the show.
How but, did he come out? Like, no, what is there to even go after?
My wife has a theory about him, which is he always goes after people who are younger than him and then adores people who are older than him.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of his thing.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Like,
but
Because I don't even understand what I could go after with you. Even if I'm not an attacking kind of person, but... What could I possibly attack you on? You're wonderful.
Well, you and I are not at odds about anything or in competition about anything. But it's really fun to be here because it's just what it sounds like on the podcast. You have, when I listen to it, it's like one of my favorite actors just shooting the shit, taking calls, being earnest, being honest. And that's what it's like when you're here, too.
Oh, we love you.
When I'm here in person, I'm like, oh, this is phenomenal. I'm so glad that we met.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Can we please collaborate sometime?
Yes.
I would love to see you and Anna do a movie together because
I think
I love
be
your
hired.
Movies.
I think we will. I can hire you for $0.40. That's the unfortunate part
can
of
you,
the kinds of movies I make.
Can you give me the 40 cents up front?
That's the unfortunate thing about a movie like mine is like I'm traveling, you know, to 30 cities with the movie and going door to door and being like, please watch my movie. It's made with a lot of heart and very little money. But yeah, I hope we can make something someday because I think You are an extraordinarily funny person who I feel like I have had so many great laughs at performances of yours over the years.
Oh, thank you. And I just admire you so much for being able to be brilliant and be able to create your own content. That's just incredible. Nice. And thank you so much for being here.
And Sim is great on Tinder.
Okay, but I have a question for you secretly.
Yeah.
Do you think that Sim should take Xanax? Because I sort of do.
Why?
Because he's incredibly neurotic. Watch him.
I only think you should take Xanax if a doctor prescribes it. I don't.
Hey, so are we ready to wrap this thing up?
Watch him wag his finger around again.
So, anyways, guys, so don't think twice. It's in theaters right now. It's gotten amazing reviews, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and hopefully it'll be in a theater near you. Follow us on Unqualified on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Subscribe on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes, I should say, not Facebook.
Sorry to interrupt. Yes. This thing just occurred to me, which is like, have you ever thought about taking Xanax?
Xanax? No, no one's ever brought that up to me.
I don't know, just an idea. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.